Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I met a guy recently who told me that he spends roughly $250,000 a month. I talked to another person recently who made $50 million at the age of 30. What do you do with that money? How do you spend it? How do you not spend it? What do you invest in? If you meet a rich person, these are questions everyone wants to know, but you're too embarrassed to ask. That's the whole premise of MoneyWise. We talk to real people who have made a significant amount of money, and we ask them all about their finances. My name's Sam Parr, and the podcast is called MoneyWise. That's one word, MoneyWise. You can find MoneyWise wherever you get your podcasts. I get rich, you know I might get busted, but my
welcome into a Wednesday edition. It's a Way Back Wednesday, so you request the music at 913-586-7610. All brought to you by Raider Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RainerKC.com. Our first request of the day comes
early this morning.
Very early from the text line.
It also comes from Nathan this morning, so you're not going to be able to trick up JT, which I don't know, Nathan, if you've been paying attention to Wednesdays recently here on the show, but JT does not know anybody.
I've heard of the bit. Yeah. But I'm very familiar with the Steve Miller Band.
Yes.
And Gene in Houston requested some jet airliner.
Gene taking a red eye this morning, so flying on an airplane and landing at this hour. I think it's kind of good. I'd rather take the red eye. I'd rather leave somewhere at like midnight then get up for a 6 a.m. flight and have to fight the airport crowd, and then you land and you're ready to go for the day. So that's the beauty of the red eye. So, you know, Steve Miller Band, hopefully you are not just one for one on the day and this is your best moment, you know, because
we'll
I mean, JT,
I think you got this.
JT really brought some excitement, some fun, and some humor to this segment because he literally did not know anything,
and
it was amazing.
Tried, but boy, he was frozen a lot
of the times. Like, I'm looking at the top text right now from Teresa.
I will
and
not
Shawnee.
Call him for any music Jeopardy help.
No. And this one says, it says Van Halen. I would have loved to have seen how JT would have pronounced Van Halen. He probably would have had something like Van Halen or something.
Really?
I just don't know. Yeah.
That's bad.
I'm just guessing right now. There's another one requested from Detroit, Derek, Paul Evans. I wonder how he would have said Paul Evans on the air. Probably Paul Evans.
Evans.
Evans, that's a good one too. Like Willie Adames, right? Which is Adams
it's
with an
Adams.
So yeah, right?
The guy jacked a 3-run home run, and we're supposed to call him Adames now.
Paul Evans.
Yeah. Well, he's always
Adams
called Adames.
E.
Yeah. He did not get called Adonis last night, Josh, because he hit a home run. They call me Adonis, though. I'll tell you that.
It's Adams with an E.
Yeah. Willie Adames.
No, I don't believe it at all.
So anyway, big home run last night. For him, and the Royals lost, and I knew at 5:22 this morning the Royals lost, because with one out in the ninth inning, I mistakenly said this game's over, and I switched over to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I was watching a little of the association before I went to bed, because that's how much confidence, Josh, I had in the general. When I need some time, call the general and save some time.
No. You don't. I mean, I stay around because I want to see the. I want to see the splash. I want to see the untucking of the shirts,
right?
And chest bumps,
all of that good stuff.
And
right?
Lost, so I stayed till the end.
I wanted to see what the Thunder were going to do last night. They were down under,
or something like that. I guess they were down under us last night. Oklahoma's under us.
So the Royals wear one late.
Yeah, you got
James MacArthur now back to back.
Okay.
Woofs.
Yeah. Not good.
But he did wear the L. I appreciate that.
Frustrating. supposed to be a curveball down, hung it up in the zone a little bit. He's a guy where you can't make that mistake, especially late in the game. And he made me pay, made us pay. So, yeah, really frustrating. Didn't want to throw that pitch there, and bad result. Talk with the pitching coaches, talk about things that maybe I'm falling into bad habits, maybe I'm falling into bad patterns, and get back to getting ahead of hitters and putting guys away.
Not trying to work around Sanchez there at all, right?
Just... Yeah, I think in that situation, not trying to work around him, understanding, treating him similar to Adames, not trying to leave anything over the plate. He's one of their home run hitters, a close game like that, and trying to pitch him tough, and resulted in a walk, which unacceptable right there.
Yeah, he's a 200 hitter. Go after him.
Yeah.
Pretty
well,
simple.
That's good because after two in a row, I was going to go back to my odds list, which is always 2-1 forearm tightness, 3-1 arm fatigue, 7-1 oblique.
Right.
He's going with tipping pitches.
Right.
So he went a different direction.
Went a different direction.
Which is good. He'll still be available.
Correct.
He's just clearly, I mean, if he were to have his excuse-a-meter, it would have been tipping pitches,
yeah,
I guess.
Which is
good.
I got
to check the coach to see if I'm giving something away.
Well, I mean, so, but I'd rather have him say that than create some kind of sore arm or a tightness in the forearm. That
tipping,
gives you...
tipping pitches normally will be like 10-1.
Yeah.
Much more viable, though, for MacArthur.
Well, with all the cameras that teams have these days, I'm sure they can figure out whether or not he's tipping pitches right away. Yeah. And that quite honestly, is something that is fixable. If you are doing something different with your mitt or your hand or your glove or your who knows what, when you're throwing a curveball versus a fastball, you got
to
get that figured out.
And
not to get
super geeky, but the other night when he threw like 8 million curveballs in a row.
So
somebody's probably sitting on it.
Exactly. They're just waiting for it, right? You got to change things up a little bit. Baseball's a game of adjustments, right?
Yeah.
It looks like the league in the first month didn't adjust to MacArthur. Now they're adjusting to MacArthur. How does he adjust back to the league? I mean, it's pretty simple. And again, this isn't football. We're not losing our minds over a regular season baseball loss. But today becomes, I think, even more important now because not only is it school day at the K, Josh, I know your favorite
day
out at Kauffman Stadium, where the high-pitched squeal of third graders will be peak today in the upper deck, right?
That's what makes Kauffman so loud. That's what Tom Brady said.
Exactly, it is. The 14-year-old kids.
Tom Brady said 14-year-old kids.
Every pop up to the shortstop, it'll just be squeals all over the place.
Yeah, worst day of the year. Not going to lie. Worst day of the year.
It is a rough day to be at the ballpark, man. If you're just trying to go watch baseball.
Just watch a baseball game. Not going to happen today. Not going to do it. No. Because the kids will be screaming, and by the third inning, they'll be sugar-high out, and then somebody will have to put them on a bus and take them home and return them to your parents. So enjoy school day at the K. But it's a big one today because it is the final game of this homestand. It's an opportunity to bounce back after a horrifying loss last night. Should I say that as a horrifying or as a loss? But you now are after this game, Josh, you're getting on that big jet airliner and you're flying out to Los Angeles and you're beginning a week of West Coast baseball. We know what happens sometime during West Coast baseball. Games are on late. People kind of forget about them, out of sight, out of mind. Can you be relevant? We always used to say when you come back from the West Coast. And so that's what we're looking at right now. But I think that's why today is very important. Get a win going into the road trip, going into the West Coast swing, get yourself bounced back, take 2 out of 3 from the Milwaukee Brewers. You can say you took 2 out of 3 from a first place team, in the America or in the National League Central. And then you move on and you go out to the West Coast and you take care of business there. And hopefully by the time you return from that West Coast swing in a week or so, everybody's still healthy. Everybody's still playing good baseball. The Royals are still winning. And we're still talking about a good product here in Kansas City, which I think we will. I mean, they're off to a really good start. So now they got to figure out ways to adjust because the league has figured out some of their guys. And so now you got to adjust back. That's baseball. That's daily life in baseball.
Yep. We'll talk to the skipper, Matt Cotrero, coming up at 9 o'clock for our weekly visit.
Mm-hmm.
Royals and Brewers for a day game today. 1:10 first pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. That means Vern gets you started at noon today here on 610 Sports Radio. I happened to be in an appointment yesterday afternoon for under 2 hours, 90 minutes or so,
right?
And didn't check my phone. Mm-hmm. It came out to every single text going, what the bleep?
Yeah.
What is he doing? Why is this going on? And I'm like, oh, no. And it was like different people, I'm like, what happened? I had no idea. And I clicked the thing and I'm like, ugh. And it was the Rashi Rice story.
Yeah.
The latest Rashi Rice story.
Yeah, now we got another one where he allegedly punched a cameraman at a bar on Monday morning, I guess it was, or Sunday night into Monday morning.
That's the belief.
Yeah, that's what the Dallas Morning News says.
Have opened an investigation after he allegedly struck a photographer at a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
According to FAA.
This guy's had a banner off season, hasn't he?
The incident happened early Monday in Dallas.
Yeah. Now let me just say this: where do you draw the line where you say the juice just isn't worth the squeeze anymore? The Chiefs have been very, very, very patient with players over the years, right? They give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Kareem Hunt may still be here had he not lied about what had happened. And the Chiefs, you could probably say, are a very forgiving franchise. I think everybody would like to have a franchise as forgiving to them as the Kansas City Chiefs are. But I look at Rashee Rice right now, and I look at this kid, and I feel like I want to go send a message to him and say, you know, young man, you are really pissing away a golden opportunity right now. And quite honestly, now you're pissing me off, because I think every one of us as a guy, and even as a girl now, you dream of, hey, maybe one day I'm going to play professional sports, whether it's baseball or football. Like, as a kid, we all dream about hitting that game-winning shot or throwing the game-winning pass or hitting the game-winning home run, right? And then if you strike out, you do it again, and you go, all right, 3-2 again, and you try it again, or you miss that shot, you go 3-2-1 in your driveway, and you're hoisting it up. Like, we all have that dream and that aspiration to play professional sports when we're a kid. This guy was given a golden opportunity to not only play in the NFL, but to be brought into Kansas City to play with Patrick Mahomes, to be a mainstay for a good organization with a great coach and a great QB, and he's doing everything he possibly can, allegedly, this offseason to just absolutely poop that away. And it really bothers me to see guys that are in position like Rashee Rice is that have this opportunity that absolutely squander it. And that's what we're kind of watching right now before our eyes. If this was the first offseason and said, okay, what happened? Let's figure it out. This is the second time now that Rashee Rice has been in some trouble in the offseason in the same city doing things that he probably shouldn't have been doing.
And this one, it doesn't matter what the situation is. It's just that you're in the news.
You're in the news. You know what I mean? Exactly. Like, when you should not be in the news.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying after what happened before you don't do anything and don't leave the house and lay low, whatever, but make smart decisions.
Make smart decisions.
You got to know you're in the limelight. If you don't know you're in the limelight in Dallas,
right,
which has spent way more time covering this story than Kansas City has.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Dallas
is. Oh, yeah.
And I get it. There's probably been people in his face all over the place because for some reason they have latched on to really getting after this story.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Then you got to be smart. I'm not saying don't go out either. Whatever. Again, you got to go live your life. You deal with the punishment of the previous incident, and you lay low.
Right. You do. You lay low.
And now you're riding the knucklehead train here.
Choo-choo.
I hate that. I hate the knucklehead train where it's like, again,
right,
like we can't trust you to do whatever. You're in the news again.
Right.
Again, I don't even care what the situation. You're in the news
again.
You're in the news again.
It doesn't matter, right? You've got to find ways to stay out of the news.
What are you doing here?
You know, it's Herm said, na-na-na-na-na, right? You don't want to end up on na-na-na-na-na-na. And obviously, Rashee Rice has shown this offseason that maybe he's not capable of staying in Dallas. You know, like, I mean, like, maybe he needs to stay in Kansas City going forward and stay out of trouble. But it really just bothers me, Josh, that these guys can take these opportunities and just squander them away for doing stupid stuff off the field. And that's where we are with Rashee Rice. And I think right now, like, if you're the Chiefs, you don't know absolute 100% what's going on. You're still investigating. I talked to, you know, some folks around the situation yesterday. They said they're still gathering the information on, you know, what had happened. And obviously they're going to look into it, find out what happened. Did this really happen? Obviously get the tapes from the bars, the whole nine yards. You know what's going to go through, and they're going to investigate this thing. But I can say right now, it's hard to continue to give Rashee Rice the benefit of the doubt on anything, right? It's really hard to give him the benefit of the doubt, not only because of the speeding incident, but because of the alleged walk away from the incident and all the stuff that went on because of that incident. It's really hard for me to look at Rashee Rice and go, all right, let's pump the brakes a little bit here. Let's cut the young man some slack, because I'm not in that camp anymore. I look at Rashee Rice and I go, you are on the knucklehead train. You had an opportunity here, a golden opportunity, Josh, in Kansas City to be one of the premier wide receivers on the premier offense with the premier quarterback, with the premier organization, with the premier head coach. And you took that opportunity, you crumbled it up and you threw it in the trash can, because that's where it is right mm-hmm. now as far as I'm concerned. He's got a lot to do to earn himself a spot back on this team.
Well, and, you know, I keep getting asked, well, how long do you think he's going to be suspended? I'm like, I don't really care.
But longer,
like,
now, probably.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm like, this ruined the appeal to
me.
Right?
Like, you know, yeah, you're going to appeal this.
Whatever the number was that you could appeal down, I'm like, right. might have just forgot that one. But also,
right.
I'm like beyond that. I'm like, he's a rookie that might lose all of his money in this situation.
Exactly right, because he's not making
any money.
Right.
losing all of his money in this situation. Mm-hmm. Lucky that someone didn't die.
Right.
And just on the surface level, you want to pay that man's car insurance these days?
Oh, God, no. He could call the general and save some time.
I don't think he can. The general ain't answering his call.
Right.
The general's going to give up a 3-run knock.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, man. I can't help you here either.
So, like, I'm just like, he's just got bigger fish to fry than win another 6 games.
Yeah.
Like, he may lose everything he's made in a short period of time in the NFL. And
you're right.
And he's going to build everything back.
Well, I mean, and if you're starting from such a big hole too, Josh, how much money can you possibly make back to try to earn what you're right? Because you're right. You're thinking more of the lines of dad now going, how about the car insurance bill? Right.
Yeah.
And I'm with you because think about that,
just
right?
Just on the surface level.
Yeah. He better find a Yugo to drive. I'll tell you, because that's not going to cost that much to insure, but you can't be driving Lamborghinis and Ferraris and Porsches at this stage of the game, right?
Cheaper to hire somebody to drive you.
Maybe just use that Uber app, right? Yeah. Instead of driving around, hire somebody to do it for you. Yeah. It may be better than having to try to pay insurance on it, because you know an NFL player is not going to drive a Yugo or a Focus or something like that. They should. It's a very practical car.
Yeah. Well, you don't get made fun of in the parking lot. I get it.
Well, I mean, who was the guy that was driving the minivan? It was Kirk Cousins, right? That, you know, drove the minivan to practice or whatever the case may be. At what age do you not care if people
Gardner
are making
Minshew
fun of your car, right?
RVing it, wasn't he? So,
yeah, I mean, get a conversion van. Those things, those are starting to pop up. I passed one a couple weeks ago, and my kids look at me and they go, what in the heck is that? I go, that's a conversion van. Back in the day, those were big. They had TVs in them, and if they were a rockin', you did not come a knocking.
Yeah, you got from A to B. Cross country, A to B.
My friend Nino and his family had a conversion van. It had a TV, and it had red shag carpet all over the inside of that thing.
Yeah,
back in the 80s, Josh, that was a beautiful ride,
and
you wanted one of those.
The Royals did make a run at a bat, and do they have enough to swing a trade? We'll discuss next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Let's Play Sports Equipment Drive presented by Pinnacle Bank is underway. All the details at 610sports.com, but everything benefits the Urban Youth Academy. They're looking for new or gently used softball and baseball equipment, but any sports gear is appreciated. Drop-off locations at participating Gates Barbecue spots. See our website for details. Again, all of the information at 610sports.com on the front page. You can make a monetary donation there as well. For the Let's Play Sports Equipment Drive presented by Pinnacle Bank underway right now. Cody Gold will be out accepting items as well coming up at the tail end of the month. Speaking of Cody and Gold, yesterday they caught up with J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, and they were discussing, and then we were discussing as well, that, you know, Bobby Witt's contract's done. Because I firmly believe it would have overshadowed the start of the season if his contract wasn't done. We'd be in full freakout mode about how he was going to leave us and there's no way we can afford him now, and look at the way he's playing, and they should have got a deal done.
Right.
Well, luckily, they got a deal done. Is that something JJ thinks about?
Yeah, it goes through our mind daily. We're really glad we got it done, and, you know, not to beat a dead horse, but, you know, Bobby wanted to be here, you know, and that's why it was, we were able to get it done, and we were motivated as well, and but we do think about it. He's a really special player, and I think the contract is showing its worth, even in these early stages.
Yeah, it'd be hard not to go,
yeah. Ooh, thank goodness we got in on that one. Kind of like, you know, getting Patrick Mahomes signed up at an early age, or Salvador Perez signed up at an early age. But there are sometimes you do, Josh, get into these contracts and you get screwed by them. You know, it happens. And sometimes teams and organizations get a little bit shy of wanting to go out there and give out these big contracts because they fear what couldn't happen, as opposed to saying, you know what, this is the right move and we expect this to happen. That's why it's important. And I don't remember now anymore if it was Dayton Moore or Allard Baird back in the day, but it was one executive that I talked to, you know, over the years that would say you've got to make sure that you're not only paying the player, but you're paying the right player. And that's the important thing. Is this player going to go out there after they get the money and continue to play like they haven't been paid, or are they going to sit back and eat bonbons and enjoy the limelight and put mayo on a hot dog? I don't know. I'm just saying. So that's what you have to be wary about. Obviously, with Bobby Witt, you knew he was going to be, Josh, the right player to pay. He wasn't going to be the guy that was going to sit back and pop cream puffs and eat bonbons and not work on his game and, you know, do his thing. He was going to be a guy that got paid and was going to look to get better every single day. And a lot of guys, we see it all the time. They get these big contracts, they don't do anything, and then the contract year comes and, oh my God, they tear it up. You're like, where the hell have you been for the last 5 years? Oh, contract year. So you got to make sure you paid the right guy. They nailed it with Bobby Witt. There's just no other way to put it. The organization right now has nailed it with Bobby Witt in every way possible. The right draft pick, as we talked to Ned Yost last week about, you know, drafting Bobby Witt Jr. Was it going to be Bobby Witt Jr.? Was it going to be Adley Rutschman? And Ned said he would have felt good with either one of those guys, but Bobby fits Kansas City better than Adley Rutschman did. And we're seeing it right before our eyes. He's been a fan favorite. Is it me, or does he score every run for the Royals too? Like, every time you look up, he's sliding into home, scoring another run, right? So they just absolutely nailed it with this guy. And he is, in my opinion, a unicorn. We have not had many Bobby Witt Juniors come through Kansas City. We had George Brett. We had Alex Gordon. We had Salvador Perez. And now we have Bobby Witt Jr. to go along with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones. Like, that's the category right there, fellas. There's not much more outside of it of guys that are here to stay, here to help you win, here to build something good. There haven't been many of them over the years, and we've got one in Bobby Witt Jr., and he may turn out to be one of the best of all of those guys.
I also don't mind the trepidation, like the paying of MLB players early. I don't have a problem if you don't do it for the most part. Like, you're just throwing a bunch of money at guys who's like barely sniffed the system. I think the Royals felt like they had enough of a body of work to do it, which is great.
Which is great.
But I've looked at some of these other contracts and I'm like, oh my gosh, would I do that? Oh no, that sounds horrible.
A lot of those are those like not Mike Trout contract, but the Albert Pujols type of contract. You know,
I'm talking about the young guys,
That are paid early, because there are like some 16-year-olds that are getting bankrolled now, right?
I think the Padres one has really worked out.
Which one?
The shortstop.
Tatis?
Yeah.
The one who's playing outfield now? Yeah, no, probably not.
You know what
not.
I mean?
Yeah,
like,
no.
And he was looked like a surefire whatever, but then you're oh my gosh, injuries and whatever. And I would be like, you'd just be in a rocking chair muttering to yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? So those are big risks. Those are big swings. And you got to make sure you get those right.
But also, too, from a fan's perspective, like, again, I keep going back to John Sherman and how great I believe he's been as the owner so far of this franchise. This doesn't happen under David Glass. They just let Bobby Witt get the free agency, and we have no opportunity to keep Bobby Witt. So I think what John is also doing, Josh, is laying the groundwork for how we can perceive him to be as the owner, as opposed to letting Carlos Beltran, you know, get to year 5.5 and then trading him for John Buck, letting Eric Hosmer walk, letting, you know, guys like Mike Moustakas leave, and, you know, they gave him the extra year, but they weren't really interested in bringing him back. Lorenzo Cain, like, all of these guys that we've seen over the year, the dies and whatnot, that get to that level, that get to, you know, that sixth year where they become free, we just let them go and get a comp pick. I think John Sherman is sending a message to all of us as fans that, hey, if you guys fall in love with a player and he does good things, we're willing to pay that guy. We're just not going to let him leave, because that's the way way business has been done in Kansas City over the years. And I think that's one of the things that we continue to need to factor in. John Sherman and his ownership group stepped up in a big way to sign Bobby Witt Jr. because under the old system here in Kansas City, Bobby Witt's going to free agency. He ain't signing here in KC.
You know, I want them to get a bat and probably want to get them a bat now. Well, they did try to get on Luis Arraez that went from the Marlins out west. JJ said they did make an inquiry and had interest.
Well, put it to you this way. I mean, we got good information that he was going to get moved. So you do what you're supposed to do. You call him and make the call to the club to find out if it's in fact true. And obviously they were looking to move him. I would categorize the discussions as very light, and come to find out after the fact that those discussions with San Diego had gone on since the winter meetings or sometime over the winter. So, but we're, you know, what I can tell you is we're always going to look to improve the team. And, you know, and that particular player, he's a two-time batting champion. He represents a lot of on base, which is something we feel like we're going to need to find somewhere. So he was the right type of player, and the call was made, but never came close to a deal being made because they were so far along with San Diego.
Okay, so the groundwork had already been laid. Mm-hmm. They said, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If we get onto this, we'll make the move with you. Okay, we did. All right. So the Royals made the call, missed out on that one. Can they put themselves in a spot to make other trades if need be? Is there enough in the system?
Yeah. No, we're not going to be too worried about that. I mean, it's we have to make a really solid evaluation of where we think this club is, a realistic evaluation. You know, right now we feel good about where we're at. If we feel good in a month or 2 months, we got some time until the trade deadline. You know, your farm system is there to help your major league team, whether it be those players coming up or acquiring other players. That's what your farm system is there for. So I'm not going to be too worried about, you know, where the industry or where the publications think our farm system is. We know we have good players. We know we have players that other teams would want. So we're not concerned with that. You know, you always want to be healthy with your farm system, but if you're making a move to help the major league team, that's ultimately what this is about.
Yeah,
you know, our fans want to see our major league team win. You know, they pay attention to our farm system, but they want to see the major league team win. So that's where our motivation will lie, and we won't be deterred because of where our farm system may or may not be.
It's a great answer.
Yeah, J.J. Piccolo with Cody and Gold yesterday here on 610 Sports Radio. Full interview at 610sports.com on the Odyssey app.
That's a standing ovation type of answer for J.J. Piccolo right there, because that shows me that he gets it, and he's not going to be wedded to prospects that never amount to anything, right? I mean, like 95% of these guys that get drafted, Josh, amount to nothing in Major League Baseball.
They go pro and something else?
Well, no, they don't. They never make it to the big leagues. They never become like mid players. Like, I mean, you've got to find a way to just break out and use your minor league organization as collateral to make your big league organization better. I've said that for years, and I know I'm going to date myself a little bit, but you know, the Yankees did that. They hyped up their prospects, traded them. You never heard from them again. Got veteran guys to come in, help them win world championships. Walt Jocketty, when he was in St. Louis, was brilliant at doing that. Hype up the Cardinal guys in their system, trade them off, get Mark McGwire, get Matt Holliday, get players that can help you win at the big league level. That's what it's all about. And then you go back and you look at those prospects, you're like, that guy never amounted to anything. Yet when they're in our system, we like to coddle them and think they're good and all that kind of stuff. As far as I'm concerned, every prospect is tradable, man. If you can make your big league ball club better by trading a prospect that's done nothing at the big league level, you go ahead and do that. You cannot fall in love with prospects. If you do, well, then you're going to poop the bed.
It's officially official, or at least Schefter official. It's going to be next Wednesday. We'll discuss next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Guitar solo.
Is this a good song, or is it just that it's hot for teacher and we all have that teacher we were hot for?
It was a great video.
It was
a good video back in the days of video.
Right.
You requested music on a Wayback Wednesday, 913-586-7610. Include your name so that you get the credit.
Hot for teacher. This one goes out to Teresa and Shawnee.
Yeah, it's Teacher Appreciation Week, everybody. So let a teacher know you love them. So Teacher
probably
Appreciation
don't let them know you're hot
Week.
For them.
Yeah.
That'd probably not go over all
I know
that
when my
well.
Kids aren't hot for, I can tell you that.
So it's
I had on sandals yesterday.
Officially official or Schefter official or Ben Fisher of Sports Business Journal official?
If it's Schefter official, it's official, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's officially official.
Think it is.
I think officially official comes from the NFL.
They haven't officially. Well, they officially kind of officially did.
When Schefter and Rappaport make it officially official,
right.
That means they've the NFL's told them.
They told them to make it official. Right. That's how it works. Sure.
It's Schefter and Fisher official right now. NFL teams were informed today, that being yesterday, that the regular season schedule is expected to be released next Wednesday, May 15th, mm-hmm. as Ben Fisher, Sports Business Journal, reported.
Which is a very big upset because usually that's a Thursday. The NFL likes to dominate Thursdays, but you know, with those Christmas Day games being on a Wednesday, Josh, they're throwing up a test balloon to see if there's an appetite for football on a Wednesday.
See if we'll pay any attention
that's
on a Wednesday.
Right,
the
yes.
answer is yes.
Who did they sell the schedule release show to? Which streaming service is going to release the schedule exclusively that you're going to need to pay $6 for?
It's a good question,
right?
Normally it's just like, well, NFL Network, well, they've just completely
that doesn't exist
rip that thing apart,
right?
So
maybe
my kids can't watch a schedule release on TV, they're not going to grow up to be football fans.
That's exactly right.
Don't get bitter and angry just yet, Nathan, all right? But yes, you're exactly right. So yes, put them on a paywall, piss people off.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Thing.
Put it on NFL Plus. You can only watch it on NFL.com if you subscribe to NFL Plus, and then you'll only be able to get the schedule on Thursday. You won't be able to see it until Thursday if you don't subscribe to NFL Plus, right? That's kind of how they're going to do this thing
why
or
not?
Something like that.
Why
or I
not?
Don't know. But I wonder, are they going to sell this to a streaming service now? They've sold everything else to a streaming service. So.
And it'll be free for now on X from every team because they'll all do something that night too. So Wednesday is the much anticipated day of the schedule release. Officially. We'll talk to Brett Veach coming up in about 12 minutes. He'll join us at 6:50 today. The general manager of the Chiefs.
Right. A little behind the scenes. He answers a lot of questions.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That is indeed true. So the Chiefs are setting a new trend?
I think so. I was driving around yesterday listening to the Odyssey app, and that's why I love the Odyssey app. You can bounce around different stations, and I always like it during the football season. Yes, Josh, the storm is coming. I ran out and put the top on the car.
My gosh, all of a sudden I was like giant dark clouds. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was down in the sales department this morning looking for somebody. There was nobody down there at 5 a.m. I don't understand why there's nobody down there. So I was sitting on the nice leather sofa that they have.
You had something for them,
right?
Too.
I had an idea, and they weren't there. I don't know. And so I was sitting on the leather sofa, and I looked at my phone, and I brought up X, and I saw Nick Bender of Channel 9 saying a slight chance of rain this morning. I'm like, son of a gun, I got the top off. And so I looked at the radar, and like a big cell moved right over where we are right now about this time, and I'm like, I better go put the top on the car. So I did that earlier this morning.
So now it won't rain.
It won't rain. No. Hopefully I took care of that for everybody. I'm like, son of a gun. The first time I like left it off and it's going to be 10 days of nice weather and the Broncos got no top on. Now I got to go put it back on. But anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, I was listening to the Odyssey app yesterday and I stumbled upon our sister station in Philly, WIP, and they had an odds maker on yesterday, Josh. And I really love this segment and maybe we should steal it at some point in time. But then I started to think we don't really have enough good teams that can compete with the Chiefs teams of current year, right? Like, I don't care what Chiefs team you say, you know, would the 69 team beat the 2019 team? No chance, not happening. So it doesn't really work for us. But they had an odds maker on giving odds on classic Eagles matchups and who would be favored, right? And they're like, all right, you got the 2004 Eagles versus the 2017 Eagles. Who do you have favored? Who do you think is going to win that game, right? Just a fun conversation to have. And as Tom Brady told us, we had 50 years of suck and then 5 years of good stuff. And then the only reason we're popular is because of Taylor Swift, right? Or something of that nature. So this guy said he wouldn't favor the 2004 team because defense really doesn't matter anymore in the NFL. And I'm like, really? Is that where we are right now? We're to that point where defense doesn't really matter? I disagree. I think defense matters a ton, but we focus so much on offense. We focus so much on points. We focus on the fantasy stats. We forget that the Chiefs built a crazy good defense, and quite honestly, Josh, that's why we won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, where would we have been without a great defense last year?
Right.
In some trouble.
In big trouble. Yeah. Maybe not making the playoffs. Maybe not making the Super Bowl. Definitely not winning the Super Bowl. We won because of the defense, and I thought about it even more. I'm like, God, since Andy Reid has been here, we've really been on the front end of the big changes that have come to the NFL, right? Like when Andy got here, he brought in that pistol style of offense that we talked about. Went down, hired a college coach, Chris Ault, brought him in.
Say the name so Binkley
doesn't text us.
This guy, Chris Ault.
Chris Ault brought him in here to revamp because that's what colleges were doing. And so Andy thought, you know what I'm going to do? Instead of making college kids adjust to playing a style that they haven't played for the last 4 years, I'm just going to change and put them in the best possible position. Now every quarterback's in the pistol formation. And when was the last time, Josh, you heard anybody say, I don't know, he hasn't taken a snap under
and
center.
Nobody's sweating that anymore.
Right? And that's because of Andy Reid. And then you see what else has gone on. The pistol, drafting a quarterback when you don't really need one, right? Did the Chiefs really need a quarterback when they had Alex Smith? No.
We just really wanted one.
And you had an opportunity to get better. Teams are doing that. And people are giving the Atlanta Falcons a rash of crap because they went out there and drafted a young quarterback. Chiefs did that when they had Alex Smith. You can be good, but you want to be great. And if you look at your quarterback and say, yeah, he's good, he's not going to get us to great, but there's a guy that could potentially get us to great, you go and make that move. Like, I'm tired of the slander of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm going to stand up for them and wave the Falcon flag for once and go, they made the right move with drafting Michael Penix Jr., right? So that was another trend that happened up. And then beefing up the defense, right? Andy Reid last year and this team quietly were drafting guys on the defensive side of the ball. And nobody was really paying attention. We were focused on Mahomes and Kelsey and Hill and all these other guys on offense. And meanwhile, they built a defense that you're going, oh, my God, look at that. They quietly built an all-pro at defensive end. They quietly built an all-pro at defensive tackle, all-pro at linebacker in Bolton, all-pro at defensive back, you know, in Trent McDuffie. So they've quietly built a really good defense. That, I think, is the trend now in the NFL. I think defense matters now more so than ever because not everybody has one. And if you can get after it on defense, you're giving your offense such an easier time to win football games.
They built the defense so good they could part with one of their good defensive players.
Yeah, right? And so
Legarius Sneed, well, yeah, we built this thing up enough that we could actually just let Legarius Sneed walk and apparently have no sweat about it.
But I think
you could say, oh, man, had they just been beefing up the offense, you wouldn't need all this defense. I don't know about that. And then also I think that they – didn't forget it, which I appreciate.
Right.
I think there were times when, let's just say the Vermeil era.
They forgot about defense.
They forgot about defense.
And they'll admit to you. Yeah. They'll say that
they
today.
They loaded up on offense, and they just kept loading and kept loading and kept loading, and you're like, okay, all right, I'm going to remember, and didn't allocate enough resources to defense, and it wasn't good enough. So I think you always have to have a good defense. Now, when you have a great defense, that puts you in a different category if you have offense to go with it, and that's what the Chiefs have indeed done.
Right.
We'll talk all things Chiefs with General Manager Brett Veach. He'll drop by next.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man. Sing us a song tonight. Well, we're all in the mood for a melody, and you've got us feeling all right.
Back in, brought to you by Raynor Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology, the number one professionally installed garage door opener. You can find them at RaynorKC.com. You request the music on a way back Wednesday at 913-586-7610. Please include your name.
This comes from Alex in Schenectady, New York. He wanted a little piano man on a Wednesday here on 610 Sports Radio. By the way, if you live out south, take cover. It got dark fast,
yeah,
man.
It's a nice sunny morning to my left. And then to my right, I was like, wait a minute here. Yeah. What is that storm cloud here?
So that'll be gone in 10 minutes, but still, take cover for right now.
All right, we're going to chat with Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach. A little disclaimer, we talked to Veach before the latest Rashi Rice story broke yesterday, but he did address a possible suspension a little bit later on in the interview.
And Brett, why didn't you go out there and get Marvin Harrison for us? I wanted him at number four.
We tried. Listen, we tried many different ways, and we got shut down, and we had to regroup and regather, but I think we did okay. But I do apologize to you, Bob, and just want to let you know that it wasn't because of a lack of effort on our part.
Honestly, though, Brett, what would have taken to get up to number four? I mean, to go from 32 to four, how difficult would that have been, or maybe not difficult to do something like that?
Well, I think there's a price for everything, right? But I think for where we are and what we're trying to do and how we're trying to keep this thing going, it wasn't realistic for us. And those draft charts work in different ways, but typically on every team's draft charts, the first round, the point differential is so big that, I mean, it would have taken, I'm sure, multiple ones and multiple twos and probably players. And it would have taken a ton of resources that we really didn't have at this point to move. But good player. But again, I think we've shown over the past few years that we can get creative and how we construct this roster and find different ways to win football games. And, you know, I think that was the plan coming into this offseason and this draft, and, you know, just proud of the guys for the way they put together a plan, both again in the offseason and in the draft. So looking forward to getting these guys out here as one unit. We just had the rookies in here the last few days, liked a lot of what we've seen. And then again, the vets are out here now, and looking forward to the final phases here. We can kind of blend both these groups together and get ready for St. Joe's.
Take us behind the curtain of that a little bit. When, I mean, you know a lot of stuff that's not reported, and you're hearing obviously from teams and things that aren't out there. But when the news comes out or whatever that so and so is looking to or fielding calls to move out of a pick, do you at least make a cursory phone call? How does that process work? Even if at the higher stages of the draft, where you know, like say, to get to four, it would take this, and this. Do you make that phone call to find out exactly what someone's looking for?
No, typically not. We have our own game plan, and I think when we came into the opening night of the draft, we looked at all the historical boards, and every team uses different boards, but we looked at where we are and what we can do. And I think going into Thursday night, our game plan was we targeted a handful of guys with the ability to potentially get up into that 22 to 24 range as a starter. So anything higher than that 22 to 24, you're looking at twos either this year or next year. And we had decided that our threshold may be a three, or potentially combining that three in the Snead trade. So a three this year and a three next year. And if you look at any chart across the league, I mean, I think both threes would have got you up to maybe 20, 21, somewhere around there. So that wasn't our ideal move, to move a three this year and a three next year. That was maybe the max limit we had. So really, we just focus in on about pick 24, 25. That would be kind of the target area for us if there was a guy that we liked to move up there, and let the draft play out and start to lock in and get focused once you got around pick 17 or 18.
Talking with Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach here on 610 Sports Radio. And, you know, we kind of joke about, oh, my God, Buffalo took your phone call. Like, that's a rival, and they let you get up and get the guy that you wanted. Do you dial *67 when you're calling these teams now so they don't see it's from Kansas City and they have to answer because they don't know who's on the other end? I can't imagine there's a lot of teams that want to do business with you guys these days.
No, we don't. I think when you're on the clock and teams are on the clock, I think it's beneficial they know who's calling so they can pull up your picks right away and quickly calculate what their board says so they can have a counter to whatever you're proposing. But, you know, I think for the most part, over the years, it's always been kind of AFC West teams, and that's kind of been an unwritten rule. It's hard to deal with those teams. And then there's historically teams that just don't do a lot during the draft. And I think Pittsburgh and Cincy are kind of those two old-school teams that they don't do a lot of moving. But I'm sure you do have some of that AFC rival and potential playoff matchup. But I mean, listen, credit to Buffalo. They do a great job, and they have a great team. And they went in there focused on their team and how they want to construct and build that team. And I don't think that they were necessarily worried about us in regards to what we're doing, because we're on two different game plans, and both game plans have been successful, and they're sticking to theirs. And I think that trade made sense for them. That's why they did it, and it made sense for us, and that's why we did it.
It seemed like the consensus from, I would say, the quote-unquote experts, like all of us, like that the Chiefs' needs were wide receiver, offensive line, and defensive back. You come out of the draft and have pass catchers, offensive linemen and defensive backs. Were those distinctly your three maybe biggest needs? And you got to be pleased with kind of nailing all those spots multiple times.
I think going into the draft, we're always going to focus on the O-line and D-line, and you know, certainly quarterback was right up there. So I think if you took a step back and just looked at our roster, I certainly think that we need the competition at left tackle, and we always need to get depth on the defensive front. And then, you know, certainly receiver is something that we're always going to be looking at every year with drafts, with Pat having it, the success he's had over the years. So it was a successful draft for us because, I mean, we had those needs. And, I mean, look, these guys have to come in here and they have to continue to grow and develop and show that they can make plays and help us win on game days. But when you're picking last in every round, it's hard. And, you know, you're at the mercy of other teams' decision in a lot of ways. And so that's why you do have to do some different things. And, you know, we did that multiple rounds just to make sure we got a receiver that we wanted and a tackle that we wanted. You know, it's very, very hard. I'm not a super patient person, so it's hard waiting at the end of every round to get exactly what you want. So I think to have those needs and then to come away with the draft and check the boxes off on a lot of those needs, knowing that we picked last in every round, was credit to the coaching staff for their work during this process with our scouts, and credit to the scouting staff and the personnel staff during the draft to just be able to get the board the way we wanted to and be able to maneuver when we needed to.
Well, and that brings up something like, I know you don't want to toot your own horn, but I have no problem doing that for you. You see all the draft like analysis. Oh my God, the Chiefs nailed this draft. The Chiefs nailed the draft. The Chiefs nailed the draft. How do you guys as a staff continue to have success in the draft? Like some of these teams you see, they'll draft good one year, not so good the next year. Good one year, not so good the next year. You guys have been consistently good. How are you guys able to do that?
Well, I certainly think part of it is just the fact that we've been together for so long. I mean, this is a veteran staff really on the scouting side, and we've had some really talented personnel staff members move on the last few years. Ryan Poles went to Chicago and Brant Tillis recently went to Carolina, but a lot of us have been working together for a long time. So whether it be a Mike Berganzi, a Ryan Nutt, a Tim Terry, a Mike Bradway, now a Chris Shea, we've been together for so long. I think when the schedules come out in the summertime in regards to the college schedules and when our guys can go in and out and visit and then working with our pro scouts on the pro schedule, it's just one of those things where there's not a lot of things that need to be added year in and year out. It's just a system that we put in place, I mean, shoot, since, 2013 here. So now, I mean, we're going on, you know, 2024. We've been here for a while. It's a system that we put in place from the beginning. And yeah, we've made some tweaks along the way and tried to refine things and make them better. But fundamentally, most of the big topic areas are things that have been in there since day one. And I think just from a scouting schedule in the fall for our college guys and a pro scouting schedule, on the other side, I just think that it's a system that we're all comfortable with, we're used to, and we spend a ton of time together. Once the season ends, all of our staff, both college and pro, are together working on this college board, and then we bring in the coaches. And then I think, again, you know, the tenure that Coach and I have had over the years, I mean, we've been working together since 2006, 2007, and throw Spags in there, we've been working together. I just think it's the fact that we've worked together for so long, and we kind of know what the coaches want, and they leave it to me and my staff to find it, but it's a system that's been in place for a while and it kind of runs very efficiently here.
Chiefs General Manager Brett Veach joining us here on 610 Sports Radio. Who does Xavier Worthy remind you of?
I'd like to say every player is a representation of, you know, what they are as a player. And I know Coach mentioned it just body-wise of DeSean Jackson, just because he's a taller guy that's lean but has tremendous playmaking ability down the field. So I guess just piggybacking off Coach Reed's word in his conference a few days ago, I do think that there's some resemblance there. Just, again, the body size is one that jumps out. And I think also, I mean, if you go back to DeSean Jackson's college days at Cal, he was a tremendous punt returner. So I think some of the things that DeSean did, Xavier did to a T in Texas, but from a size, length, body weight, special teams ability, downfield playmaking ability, I think that's probably the one that just naturally sticks out. But hopefully he can be the best version of himself and be uniquely different here with Pat Mahomes and Coach Reed.
How do you guys prepare not knowing what's going to happen with Rashee Rice? And what do you think is going to happen with Rashee Rice?
Well, I don't know. And we haven't been in contact. I mean, that obviously will get worked out on its own. But I think, listen, we prepare like we're preparing for a 20-game season, and I think that this situation aside, you have to attack the schedule as if you're going to have players not be in the lineup for various reasons. And, I mean, you never know what the situations are, or what the injuries are. I mean, look, last year we lost Nick Bolton for 6 weeks. So I think that's just part of this whole process here of the offseason, free agency, the draft, just getting as deep a roster as you can get. And I know a few years ago, I think in 19, we won our first Super Bowl, I think we lost three defensive ends. So it's one of those things where, you know, you have to have depth at every position. It's a long season, and you know, and that's why going to St. Joe's now, we have to make sure we put a premium on competition battles at every position group. And, you know, we'll get Hollywood out there, we'll get Xavier out there, and then guys that have lined up and played snaps in the past, the Sky Moores, Kadarius Toney's, Justin Watson's, and I think we'll also be able to complement, you know, with the tight ends a little bit better, too. Now you have Travis and Noah, and we're excited about Jared Whiteley, so I think Jarrett will be able to provide not just a blocking presence with the size, but I think we've all seen what he can do at TCU in regards to the pass game and red zone stuff and intermediate target. And he's a big guy that can run. So I think it'll be the next man up mentality, and we'll work together in conjunction with the tight end group and always have a plan. And again, it'd be no different if we lost guys for various injuries throughout the course of the season. So having a deep team and having a deep roster is important. And, you know, hopefully we have the competition battle set the right way for St. Joe's.
Who is your left tackle? You talked about creating competition. Can Kingsley come in and compete for that in year one?
Yeah, absolutely. He can come in and compete year one. And I think, you know, he had a great rookie camp here. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, I think after the draft, I mean, we really like some of the things we saw out of Wanya last year. And it's his job to come back in here, and he'll have a little bit of a upper hand just having a year experience under his belt. But, you know, if he comes in here with the right mentality and takes that year experience and really utilizes that, you know, mental knowledge, you know, athletically, he'll have a chance to win that job. But again, it's our job to bring competition in here. And I think, you know, Kingsley has shown that just in a few days here that the big concept stuff wasn't too hard for him to grasp, and he did a great job. And I think it's going to be a great battle, but I think that's as a competitor. And I know both those guys are, I mean, that's what they should both want in Rutledge, to go out there and see who can make the fewest mistakes and see who can go out there and make the plays when their numbers are called and execute. And you know, it's a pretty important position there, the blind side of Pat Mahomes. So, you know, we're looking forward to it. But, yeah, I mean, absolutely, I think he can come in here and win this job. And again, the cool thing is those guys get to determine who the left tackle is. And it's going to be by the tape and, you know, the grading of their performance week in and week out that determine that. So, again, it's in their hands, and look forward to that battle.
I know you guys have pressure every year, Brett, to win the Super Bowl, and that's ultimately the goal. But this is different. This is the opportunity to three-peat. Which is, I guess, greater, the pressure to three-peat or the opportunity to go out there and three-peat?
Well, shoot, I don't know. I feel the pressure just getting our competition battle set at corner and safety set for training camp. It's one of those things where, and maybe I've done a good job of learning from Coach Reed over the years. I don't know if I ever think about Super Bowls or playoffs. And like even now, our guys are outside and they're warming up. I'm kind of looking through the mirror and I'm thinking, God, how can we get just a little bit better at any one of our positions? And you know, knowing that we've had a ton of success over the years and three Super Bowl wins in 5 years, it seems kind of crazy to even think that at this stage of the season, because, and every coach and every GM would tell you this, you just seem like you're so far off from where you want to be right now, and there's so much work to do, and you're trying to integrate all these new kids in here and trying to get them up to speed, and hopefully they can help you, and probably know that there's going to be at some point in the season where things aren't going the right way, and every year is different and unique, and it's a matter of having that leadership up top, and it starts with Coach and Pat, and we've been fortunate to have that. But, I mean, look, just the opportunity to go out there and win another division title and hopefully bring the AFC Championship game back to Arrowhead would be awesome. I mean, all of these Super Bowl appearances and Super Bowl wins, they've been razor thin. The margins have been right there on the edge there. So, I mean, look, I think if we can just get through camp healthy, that to me is the biggest stress, you know, because I think we all feel like if we can have these young guys develop and keep Pat and some of the other guys healthy, we'll always have a shot. But the biggest stress for a GM is just to make sure the competition battles are set and make sure your starters stay healthy, and those two things, they don't always happen. So I would say that's the biggest stress I have right now.
Brett, we appreciate it, my man. Thanks.
Always, guys. Pleasure talking to you guys, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Brett Veach with us here on 610 Sports Radio in the middle of what we're calling hail.
A good way to look at the three-peat, too. Like, that's a good, healthy way to look at what could be a major stressor that is only really an outside stressor if you allow it to be.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly.
That's media talk. That's fan talk. That's pressure, whatever. If you don't even sweat that internally, they know what their bar is. Their bar is to win the thing every year.
This is no different than any other year.
So they prepare for that, and it's a great team way to approach it.
Right, it is. You're right about that. And you look at the Chiefs, and they're like, yeah, it's a three-peat, and there is pressure from the outside, but every year we go in expecting to win the Super Bowl, and there's pressure internally on us to win a championship every year.
Want to win it.
Right, exactly. You know, so. We want to win the Super Bowl every year, and so, yeah, there's no more pressure this year than any other year. And, as you mentioned, Josh, we taped that interview before the latest on Rashee Rice came down, but I still think Brett Veach gave a great answer about Rashee Rice and what you can do. He goes, look, you just got to approach it. Guys are going to get injured. Guys are going to get knocked out for the season. We lost Bolton last year for 6 weeks. You have to have those fail safes in place in case somebody does get hurt, because it's going to happen. You're going to go through a season and you're going to have attrition, right? This just happens to be before the season started.
I mean, you have to deal with each individual scenario individually, but on the grand scheme of things, you're like, well, yeah, it could be an ACL,
right?
It could be a foot injury.
Right. Could be a hamstring.
Could be anything. Could be a strange illness that was diagnosed. Whatever. Right.
Could be a concussion.
Or it could be off the field.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it almost falls into the same category. Yes, individually he has to deal with Rashee Rice and whatever the punishment is. But also, well, it could have been an injury, and I have to be dealing with the same thing. It's just a different thing that's come across,
right?
Different way that it's come across my desk.
Correct. A different way to have to deal with something. Now, obviously, this off the field stuff could have all been prevented. Rashee Rice doesn't need the speed. He doesn't allegedly need to be involved in whatever it was the other night.
Part of it. That's out of your control portion of it. But I think if you compartmentalize it too, like, yes, I will deal with that portion of it when I have to deal with it from just a football building a roster perspective, yeah, we have to build in fail safes all the time for something that's going
to happen. And do they have enough in place right now? We'll have to see. I mean, now we're back to Josh. I mean, I, as far as I'm concerned right now, and this is just the way my brain operates, I'm not counting on Rashee Rice this year. And I honestly don't know if the team's technically counting on Rashee Rice this year. How could you at this point in time, right? So this is where you have to look around and go, you going to step up, Kadarius? You going to step up, Sky? You going to step up, you know, Hollywood Brown?
It's like Justin Watson's back.
Justin Watson, your number one wide receiver for the Chiefs. Like, yeah. You know, so now maybe you start to scour the free agent market, see who's left out there. Maybe Mecole Hardman makes a potential return to Kansas City. I wouldn't bring MVS back. Yesterday, Tyler Boyd signed with Tennessee. I thought that would be a nice sneaky ad. And then all of a sudden, I saw he signed with the Titans. I'm like, damn. That costs us a wide receiver.
I mean, that's one, because, again, I'm in the $4 million flyer guy, right?
Yeah, right.
So that was a $4 million.
Yeah, four and a half. Yeah.
Something, million-dollar deal. So, yes, I was kind of like, ooh, yeah. Love to take that. I don't, you know, we're spending their money for them, but, like, I'd buy that just as insurance. Sounds really good.
But it's our job also to we always try to have a backup plan. If we say get rid of, I don't know, MacArthur is the closer for some odd reason, right? Who's your backup plan? Who are you going to put in there to close out games? You going to turn the game over to Will Smith right now? I'm not. So you better have an option for you if you're going to suggest fire the manager, fire the coach. Who do you want to bring in? And right now, I would have liked that Tyler Boyd on this roster in these circumstances, but I do think the Chiefs probably have to start to kind of look around and say, all right, we probably got to beef up this wide receiver core right now and try to plan with life without Rashee Rice. And I think NFL teams, more so than any other sport, Josh, they do a great job of moving on from players, and they do a great job of forgetting about you, and they do a great job of having next man up. And in football, we all just go, yep, next man up. And that's kind of where we are with Rashee Rice right now. If you're hanging on to your hat that this guy's going to be part of the team this year, I don't know that he is. I wouldn't count on it as of this moment. I don't think you can count on Rashee Rice. That's just my opinion. I'm not counting on him. If he comes and he plays some games this year and he gives you something, it's gravy.
We'll look at this week's power rankings and our random power rankings coming up next. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/across America.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And Watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.